lot of times when we think of education, academics comes to mind. And while that is a key component of learning, to only focus on study is to become unbalanced. This week, we're talking about having a holistic view of education that includes work, study, and service. You're listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. This is a podcast to help you homeschool simply, inexpensively, and enjoyably. I'm Rachel Winchester, a fellow homeschool mom using this method with my own three children. In this episode, I interview Jason and Bree Kemp, homeschool parents in Southern California. They share their experience with homeschooling their five children and how a balanced education has served them well and helped them live with their kids in an understanding way. Before we get into the episode, if you're ready to jump in and learn more about the Homeschool Made Simple approach, we have a special resource for you. We've put our essential teachings together to create the HMS Essentials Bundle. In it, you'll learn how to set a solid foundation for homeschooling with a Bible, a library card, and a math program from kindergarten through 12th grade. And the more than 20 pages of book lists will point you toward the very best resources to develop your own creative curriculum. Visit our online store at homeschoolmadesimple.net/store or click the link in the show notes. And don't forget to use coupon code podcast at checkout to receive 15% off the HMS Essentials Bundle. Now let's get into the episode. Well, today I have the joy of being joined by a veteran homeschool family who lives in California and is here to share about their story and their family's experience. So welcome to the podcast, Jason and Bree.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Just to get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about your family so we can get a lay of the land here?
Yeah, we are a family of seven. We have a really big spectrum of ages. We have our daughter who's 20 and she's about to get married next month. We have Josiah who's 17. So Abby's the first and Josiah. Ethan is 13, Matthias is 8, and little Ellie is 4. So the whole spectrum. And we've been homeschooling pretty much from the beginning. I remember in preschool going like, well, let's just try it. How can you fail preschool? Mm-hmm. Let's try it. And then it was when my oldest was in kindergarten that we first started going to Homeschool Made Simple seminars and been hooked ever since.
That's awesome. Before we started, we were talking about the three-legged stool and how much that has meant to you guys. Maybe you could share, just for brand new listeners, what's the three-legged stool and how has that really made a difference in your approach to homeschooling your family?
Yeah, the three-legged stool Carol talks about is work, service, and study. And you want a balance of those because otherwise, you don't want a wonky stool. So work, like hard work, manual labor, indoor work, outdoor work, and then service being whether you're serving one another in the family, but also looking out to serve your church, your local church, serving at organizations, serving when a family needs a meal brought to them, or just looking outside of your family as well to serve. And then study, of course, as you know, we're homeschoolers and we know study, but then each having their own place, and they really benefit one another mm-hmm. when you have all three in life.
Mm-hmm. So for work, what we've done, so my three boys, every morning, they start their time with God, and it looks different for each of them. But they then go outside. Whether it's sunny here, which often is in Southern California, or it's been a little bit chilly lately, they're out there, and sometimes it's projects that they're working on. They're fixing something, they're repairing something, they're doing maintenance, they're building something. Sometimes it's cleaning the outside of the house, or we've got we're blessed with a large property that needs weed clearance every year. And so sometimes it's going out there with the weed whacker and weed whacking for an hour. Whatever it is, though, it's consistently having them be outside. And even if the task is simple or it's, you know, more involved in an actual project that can take multiple days to accomplish, they're out there building those reps and learning what it means to have that consistency of work. Mm-hmm. And we've seen just such a great change in the level of their discipline mm-hmm. and how much they've responded to that, even just something as simple as going outside and doing work for 30 minutes a day. Mm-hmm. So that's what my boys do. And then my two girls, not my oldest for much longer, but the youngest even will help Bree or Abby with cooking and making breakfast. And sometimes she'll be baking something for dinner that evening, or sometimes it's making breakfast for the rest of the kids. So everyone does work. Bree and I do work. The kids do work. It's something that we didn't always have as one of those legs of the stool, but that's something that Carol has encouraged us with, and something that we've really focused on more lately and seen a lot of fruit because of it.
Mm-hmm. We used to pay, when we first moved in, our kids were smaller, we used to pay these guys, and they would work days on end with these weed whackers, sweating, just like hard work, and pay like sometimes $2,000. It was crazy. Mm-hmm. And now the joy of like my saying, my son did this, you know, and the fire department came, checked it out and said, it's good enough. Like, it gives them such a, like, I did that, you know, I did man's work and made a difference to my family. Cause we're all, you know, I say we're like a battleship, or like some kind of ship where it's not a cruise line and we're all needing to pitch in. We all have our different jobs and depend on one another. So mm-hmm. that's a joy to see them live up to that.
Right. Yeah. When you were describing your four-year-old daughter helping to bake something, I was thinking about just how much ownership she feels for that. You know, when you put it on the table and everyone's eating it, she's like, I am adding value to this family. And that's what it does for all of the kids and ourselves too. It's just gives so much added value. They feel like, I belong here. What would they do without me? Working yourself out of a job. So yeah, that's awesome. I love that. I've definitely seen that with my family too. And my oldest is a boy, and he something inside of him like carries him outside first thing in the morning. And he's done that since he was very little. And, you know, it just really does make a difference. What have you seen that difference of just, what is that work? You know, Carol has often said, like, work is where character is made, which I think might be a quote from the Moors, but have you seen that in your family?
I think it really helps, like, even on a physical level, for my boys to be outside, have large movements with their body and use their hands, run around, things like that. And then to come in at breakfast at 8 and be able to sit quietly and receive scripture, practice memory, read books, things like that. They're not so squirrely. They're not so just like antsy and all that. They've gotten some of that out of their system. And so they're able to have more self-control because those other needs have been met, both physically as their character can be built so much more effectively, I think, when those needs are met. Mm-hmm. So self-control is a big one. And it's like because they've used their body, it's like their mind is ready to engage now as well, and hungry even.
They've developed that discipline of knowing that if it's 7 a.m. or 7:15 a.m., I'm outside. Like, that's part of my day. I don't have to think about it. Mm-hmm. I don't have to ask mom or dad, what should I do right now? Or I'm bored, or is breakfast ready? Like, they know it's mm-hmm. that time and I'm outside working. And what started as more directive of go work on this or go fix this, now it's become them taking more ownership and more initiative to say, what are some things that I've done before, or looking around what needs to be fixed, and taking that initiative. And so it's not as much me telling them what to do, but them taking more ownership of maintaining the house and keeping it in good order, because they live here too. It's not just my house. Or our house, but it's their house too. And so they take that pride of workmanship and sometimes craftsmanship, if they're building something, to use those tools and to build those skills. They're not just building things externally, they're building things internally too, with the character development that they're forming.
And I will say it has taken time to get there. You know, with a 17 and 13 year old, it's like they've worked alongside us long enough to do that work. I'm not going to send a 7 year old out alone. Go work, go outside away from me and work, you know, to work alongside them in the earlier years. And, to do it together, to make it like, this is a project we're doing together. Look at what we made. Look at how we prune the tree, whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. So it takes time, I think, to get to where we're now in this place of like, yeah, the three brothers, they're outside enjoying one another and nature and their work.
And it's not totally hands off. I mean, sometimes they'll come to me and I'll be able to work with them if I have the time that morning, depending on my work schedule. And we can work together. I can give them some general instructions. Sometimes they see me say, I have no idea how to fix that. Let's watch a YouTube video together, and figure this out and see what tools we need, see what we need to buy at Lowe's and see how we're going to accomplish that. So they can see that dad doesn't know everything, and dad needs help too. And I can actually help dad work through this. It's not just dad doing everything by himself, but they're a part of that process and learning along with me, not always just me telling them this is exactly how you do it because I've done it 100 times before.
Yeah, that's great.
JJ Side here with a recommendation from the Crossway Publishing Vault. Remaking the World, How 1776 Created the Post-Christian West, by pastor and scholar Andrew Wilson. This book is so entertaining, so informative, so timely that we in fact bought copies for our entire church staff and we read through and discussed the book together. It came out in 2023. It's won multiple awards and it offers our children, particularly our older kids and ourselves, such a balanced perspective on all the things we have to be grateful for in the West, and also all the ways in which we need to be chastened and reminded that if we have anything good, it's by grace, and God gets all the glory. So I encourage you to pick up a copy of Remaking the World wherever books are sold, or visit crossway.org/remakingtheworld to learn how to get 30% off with a free Crossway Plus account.
Speaking of this hasn't always been the way it was, how has it kind of evolved as far as what the morning routine was when the kids were younger versus wanting them to have that ownership as they've become teenagers and things? And also a side question is, are you guys morning people and like type A, get at it, that sort of thing? Or are you more relaxed? And so having to get up and go is more difficult for you? I'm just curious about that.
I'd say most of us in our family are more morning, tend to be more morning people. Mm-hmm. Not all of us, but I think also having younger kids and a small house, that it's kind of just like, you know, once 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. hits, it's quiet in the house. So, you know, both for the morning rest, the afternoon rest time, read, sleep, think, or pray, it becomes that again at 8 p.m. Mm-hmm. Like, read, sleep, think, or pray, even though you're a teenager and you're old, but it's downtime again and winding down time. And so I think over the years, it was like me being out there, and it's just part of homeschooling to be, whether we're working in the garden to grow some vegetables or whether we're just picking up after rain or windstorm or something, but we're together and we're kind of learning those things. And then Saturday mornings when Jason would be with the boys more so to be doing, you know, projects around the house. So I think over the years of doing that together, it just kind of evolved into more so like, you know, you guys know how to do this now. Mm-hmm. Go for it. You know, and this is, you guys bless the family this way and you girls bless the family this way.
Mm-hmm. I think for a long time, Breece had the routine of starting breakfast at a certain time. For us, it's 8 a.m. Mm-hmm. And she has her routine with the kids there. And so that was always, I think, the default starting point of the day. And some of the older kids at that time, before we had this work routine, would have their time with God, or there'd be different things that were going on in the house. But it was sort of like 8 a.m. is when the day started. Now it's closer to 7, and it includes that God time. but then it includes that work time. And it's become how everyone looks at the start of the day. And I'm going to start off with something productive and something that where I'm accomplishing something, even if it's something small, and developing that discipline. So where it was a little bit more free form in the beginning, it's a little bit more structured. Mm-hmm. There's still some room for them to be creative and to do different things, but it provides a little bit more of that boundary that wasn't able to be there as much when they were younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you see that more as a need as they got older and became teenagers, kind of needed that direction of what to do more so?
Yeah, definitely. In fact, it was even, you know, in different conversations that we had with Carol, when we consult with her, of they need work, they need hard work, they need to be outside for hours. And just that reminder, you know, I've known that, but just to hear it once again, like, so it, we weren't always at this place. We were at a place where it was just like, I feel like they're getting lazy. I see this laziness in them. I see this like, for example, every once in a while, we would maybe watch a show or something like that. And we'd just see after it's turned off, they like, who are these little people? We don't recognize them. They're selfish. They're disobedient. And it's such feedback to us as parents. Like, it is not worth it.
Right. Yeah.
Keep it off. And we don't have a TV, but still to just, nope, the screens, keep it off.
Mm-hmm. It finds its way in.
Yes.
So then what about service on the three-legged stool?
Service, it's neat because I would take one of my children and like, let's go serve the little kids together. And it started probably when they were like maybe sixth grade-ish or so, like about. And I would take like my oldest and we served the 1-year-olds in church. And it was such a joy to do together. Mm. And then I would have a baby and then we'd take a step back from that for a bit and then come back and I'd do it with the next kid. And so anyways, it really developed. So I'm on my third kid now in terms of serving with them. But it's so beautiful to see now Abby, she works. It like her job is being an assistant coordinator for birth through 5-year-olds. Mm. It's like that service led to that. Mm. And then Josiah, he serves every other week and he's with the kindergartners and blessing them. And just like it helps so much to just get out of your own selfish thinking, our own mullings that can be, you know, just to get out of our own skin, to bless others, to see others, to see how these little ones look up to them and like they're making a difference.
Yeah. At my high school, we had to have 50 hours of service mm-hmm. each year in high school. And being in the church, it just made it pretty easy to fulfill the service hours, you know. And I taught a kindergarten class and different classes, but it does. It patterns you so that then, you know, would I have done it if I hadn't been required to do all these hours and this was kind of an easy win? Like just having it as a built-in component of like, okay, a requirement. We have to do this. And then it starts to train and then it just becomes something you do that then you see like, oh, they need somebody to teach this class or they need a meal. Like we should take that to them. Or the church provides so many opportunities to serve really naturally, because a lot of times organizations won't let young children come in and serve. So I've found that just really the local church is the best way to get my kids when they're younger, at least, because it can be so hard to go out and participate in a homeless organization, like an organization for homeless people or, you know, a pregnancy center or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. And even just to see how, these things that they need for a job someday, it's like you get to practice those, showing up on time and, oh, don't forget to check that because, you know, you need to know this. It really trains them mm-hmm. for future job things. So mm-hmm.
they've really learned, I think, that idea of servant leadership. Mm-hmm. And even if they haven't had like a formal ministry, like, specifically on a calendar with the church to serve every other week, you know, as part of the core team. Josiah started this years ago when he was in middle school, of after every service, he would just be with the staff and start picking up the papers or picking up, you know, the pens or picking up everything to kind of like reset the room so that the next team didn't have to do as much work, and he'd get to hang out with the staff, and he, that just became his sort of informal ministry. No one asked him to do that, and he didn't sign up for that, but he learned about not taking things for granted and then just like being entitled to just showing up to church and have everything, you know, all the chairs set up and all the pens laid out and all the papers, you know, put out, like, but realizing somebody had to do all that work. And so being a part of the team to help out with that, to make it easier so that the staff could go home and be with their kids and whatnot. Yeah. And that's carried through that idea of just being grateful. He sort of is the domino in our family of like the first one to always say thank you for a meal or thank you for doing this. And then everyone else sort of like follows after that, like, and we all follow suit. But that's something God's shown him, you know, just like how to be grateful. Or we'll drive into a poor neighborhood and just, Dad, I'm just so thankful, you know, where God's allowed us to live. Like, we don't have to live here with bars on our window or whatever the case may be. Like, we get to live in this neighborhood. Yeah. And it's not perfect, but he sees the difference and realizes, you know, how blessed we are. Mm-hmm.
And how much of that service, you know, is really a fruit of doing the work in the home. Like, really, we are learning to serve one another through the work in the home. And then that just starts to pour out in these other avenues. And so, you know, he had eyes to see that probably because he was picking up other people's toys sometimes, even if he didn't want to, or, you know, having to put up all the dishes, even though he didn't use them all, or, you know, all kinds of stuff that we end up doing in the home. Did your kids ever push back against the work, or how did you kind of coach or encourage them, cast vision for them to participate in the work when they didn't want to?
We definitely saw that as is natural in the beginning, you know, as that new habit was being formed and that discipline wasn't there yet, and they didn't quite catch the why or the vision of behind what we were doing. But it's not even a pushback now. It's just this is what we do. Mm-hmm. The question is never, do I have to work today? It's, if they can't think of something, it's, what would you like me to work on, or what project do you have for me, or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. But that's just so ingrained. It's just like part of the routine, and they wouldn't think of something else. And so that definitely was there in the beginning. But as we built up that muscle in many ways, mm-hmm. And that habit, then it became just more of a natural thing that we do every morning.
It takes such wisdom from the Lord to know both each individual child, as well as, you know, learning, like, the Lord's done an amazing work in me to like take me down from perfectionism and to really know and be okay with where they're at. So, for example, we love to host a lot. So hospitality, that kind of thing. So the seven of us living in a small house, it gets dirty really fast. Yeah. So to prepare for hosting and calling them to, okay, you got this room, you got this job, that kind of thing, and delegating or making a list and they all just choose, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Then for me to be like, okay with an 8-year-old's work.
Right.
No, it doesn't look like mom did it, but you know what? There's less, you know, toothpaste droplets on the mirror. and learning to see for myself, God teaching me, learning to see the beauty of a lived-in home, and to be like, yeah, there's still books on the couch and there's still that, make room for yourself, you know, just learning to be okay with, like, still expecting at excellence, but excellence for an 8-year-old versus a 17-year-old looks very different, as well as even their personalities, because we have one child that his brain is constantly going all the time, trying to figure out what can I build and invent, and that kind of thing, how machines work. But his mind is so on that sometimes it's like, but don't you see that, you know, and just to have that grace. to know that's where they're at. That's okay. Right. So, right. So really depending on the Lord for wisdom mm-hmm. and discernment to know, and just doing it for years, because I have plenty of failures to go, I asked too much of that child for that thing. Mm-hmm. Even though his brother can do it at that same, it's like they're different, and honoring who the Lord made each of them to be.
Yeah, Carol talks about being their cheerleader and mm-hmm. motivating them by having fun and stuff, which I think I do that sometimes, but I'm not really the fun parent of the pair. I'm more of the, let's just get it done and cerebral person. I think it can just be hard to know. It really does take wisdom and like ongoing help from God to just be like, I think having to retell and recap, like every day is new. And mm-hmm. every day is like, we've never done it before, almost sometimes when they're really young, it feels like. And so it's just like, okay, how can I have patience with my children yeah. when we've done this their whole lives and yet there's still this, confusion about what's happening or pushback. It very much depends on your child's temperament and everything, because the first child, I think, sets the tone. So that is definitely a factor in there. But yeah, I just think, I just look with hope, I guess. And also it does a work on me that it's like, okay, am I ready every day to be their cheerleader, to wake up and be patient with them? And just challenges my leadership on so many levels too. Like, what kind of leader am I going to be? Am I going to be a servant leader? Or am I going to be a, dictator type of leader, just like, you guys need to do this and whatever. So that's definitely an internal battle that I face.
I so get it. And I feel like I learned so much from it in reading Farmer Boy, and the way that here, Almanzo, was he 12 or something? He was young, very young. Mm-hmm. Maybe 9 or 10. I don't know. He was young. And so he gets this calf, this ox that he's going to raise and he's going to train. And the patience that he had, it was phenomenal. And it like convicted me, like, how much more patience should I have for my own children? Mm-hmm. And I'm an adult. So it totally impacted me. And then in the Hawk and Dove trilogy, one of the lines that so stood out to me was learning the difference between childishness and foolishness. Mm-hmm. And so to know, like, yes, they're being trained and training that just again and again and again. And that's childishness. And of course, because they're a child, and yet we discipline, yes, discipline foolishness, but mm-hmm. but that wisdom to know the difference.
And to your point about being their cheerleader, it's finding the good that we can praise them for, not necessarily finding, even if something wasn't fixed to our standard or done to the level that maybe we expect, even at their age, finding the good that we can praise and encourage them. And thanks for cutting that branch. That was a big branch. I don't know how you were able to get it into the trash can. And like, it's such a simple thing, but it just, they're going to remember that the next time they go cut a branch or the next time they go fix something, that it's not just the chore or because I have to, but because I get to an extent, mm-hmm. and I'm helping the family. Like, this is my part in helping the family. Mm-hmm. And they get to be a part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You've been listening to the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, please leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or share this episode with a friend. It means so much when you help us spread the message of Homeschool Made Simple with others. Thanks for joining us this week on the Homeschool Made Simple podcast. Remember, Jesus' commandments are not burdensome. What he calls you to do, he will enable you to do. Blessings.